Hello, welcome to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in. I am preparing for a lecture coming up here at the end of the month on visual literacy. So I've been going back and rereading a lot of my articles and books on people who have written a lot about photography, whether it be Sontag or Walter Benjamin, Minor White, whoever that is that's written a lot on the visual literacy of photography, because I want to make sure that I've got a lecture that I think is really interesting, insightful, but yet kind of pushes a new direction in a different way than we potentially could have approached the conversation before. So I want to make sure I've got a really good foundation to base that lecture off of. Over the course of that process, though, a couple of things have occurred to me, and I don't know if they're like a self-development aspect of developing as an artist, or they're just something that's finally occurring to me and I'm just a little bit slower than everybody else. But one of the things that I realized was that there are certain phrases and certain common elements in our conversation about photography that I think would make a big difference if we shifted our perspective on those or gave up those conversations or notions altogether, or in some cases, did more than just talk about them. So for today's podcast, I wanted to dive into five or six of those kind of key phrases that, as I've been working on this visual literacy lecture, have come to the forefront of my mind of things that should change in our vernacular and in our vocabulary of photography, because I think in the end, it would make us a much more strong community of photographers. And worst case scenario, I think it would make us more effective as we communicate about our own work, either as we sit alone talking to ourselves or talking to a group of people. The first phrase that came to mind, this really came out of some of that core of what makes a good photograph, what makes a strong photograph. And that was the question of, what do I need to do to make this better? And one of the things that I find interesting is I see that a lot in a critique conversation, particularly online, or if I'm having a one-on-one conversation. I've said it myself when I have my work looked at of what could be done to make this photograph better. And I think one of the things that's interesting about that is that predicates, one, that we don't know exactly what we want. So making it better than what? Better than a photograph we shot 10 years ago? Better than the most significant and important photograph ever? Better than a cheeseburger? What's the narrative conversation there? Make it better than what? And I think part of our conversation around that, part of our own intellect around that, is we recognize that there's something we're not connecting with. There's something we're not identifying with the photograph. Or we know that we want something more out of the photograph and we just can't articulate it. So we're hoping somebody else can actually tell us what that is. In some cases, we may actually have that blind eye. There's times I've had my own photograph. Somebody has said, oh, have you noticed this in the photograph? I've been like, oh my gosh, I hadn't realized that. That is what I'm experiencing with the photograph. So I think if we can give up the idea of make this better, we lose that comparison. But I think there's better questions to ask and a better order to ask a question and to actually get to the information that we're interested in. I think one of the questions we could substitute there is, what do you see when you look at this photograph? Because one of the things that does is that forces a little bit of a conversation around what is on the surface, the objectivity and the objects of the photograph. It also goes a little bit to the narrative of the photograph. It also goes to hopefully helping us recognize maybe there is an object of distraction or something about the framing or composition that's off, where what do I see? Oh, I see this big white Starbucks coffee cup in the corner. I've used that example over and over again because I have several photographs that have big white coffee cups in the corner that I didn't recognize when I photographed, and it drives me crazy. Now they're all I can see. But that big white coffee cup that I didn't see in the viewfinder that I see in the image now is something that sticks out. So what do you see? I think also the question, what do you feel when you look at this photograph, is much more informative than what could be made better. Because maybe it's a feeling aspect where what I feel is I'm not sure how I feel about the photograph, but I know what I'm experiencing is not quite right. So asking somebody how they feel about it might open up an emotional connection to the photograph. And I like how do you feel about the photograph, because that opens up a part of the conversation that we oftentimes ignore. If you ask somebody, what do you think about the photograph? To me, that's very similar. What would you do to make it better? I think the photograph can be made better by doing this is a very pragmatic, technical approach to the photograph. But really, at the end of the day, we can forgive a lot of sins in photography, a lot of the technical perfections of photography, if we have a really meaningful, compelling photograph. Softer, out of focus, a lot of things can be accepted in a photograph if it has a really strong connection to the feeling and emotional aspect. I think another question that has come up in this, like I said, this notion of visual literacy of, is it possible? One of the things I've read over and over again that early on in photography, people didn't think about what was possible. They went on ahead and tried things. They tried different chemistries. They tried different cameras. If you hand a camera to a child and tell them to go out and photograph things, they don't ask if it's possible to photograph something. They just go try to photograph something. So I think one of the things you could do in your own work that I know has made a difference in mine, just whether it's in the analog dark room working in Photoshop, is trying to figure out, is something even possible or not? And making the assumption that it is in fact possible, I just have to figure that out. One of the things I've seen recently in some of my teaching is that when I'm working in Lightroom or Photoshop and teaching, a lot of the adults I work with won't click on things or select menu options they don't know. So if they don't know what a menu item does, they won't even click on it. And one of the things about exploration and learning is you've got to be willing to take that risk to see what's possible if I do try something. Some of the most important photographic techniques ever developed were because somebody did something they weren't supposed to do by trying something to see what was possible. Portraits with wide angles, portraits with telephoto lenses, portraits with big cameras, small cameras, changing the background, changing the lights, doing all sorts of different things just to see what was possible with the equipment they had. So getting into that notion of, is it possible? And assuming that it is, I think, is an important element of really pushing our creativity and our photography forward. Along those same lines, one of the other interesting pieces that I love about art and creativity is there's a sense of wonder in the world. And there's a sense of, can I create in a world? There's an imagination. Our imagination is so strong and it drives so much of what we do. The question of, I wonder what would happen if, or I wonder what would happen because I did something. But that acknowledgement of, just like, is it possible? If you wonder if something could be done or wonder what would happen if, that's a real strong inclination to try something. And I think a lot of us, much like trying a new menu item in a computer program, we just don't try it out of fear of failure, fear of things not working out, fear of looking stupid, whatever that fear is. But the reality is, it is when we go down those strange little rabbit holes, when we try to figure out those strange little puzzles, do we start to see a new way of seeing, a new purpose to our work, a new imagination, a new world created through our imagination. And that really gets to the heart of who we are, because I think for a lot of us, we're striving for that individuality. We're striving for that, how do we differentiate ourselves, that voice and vision, that style, whatever those are. Where that comes from, the root of that comes out of our own imagination and our own ability to push our scene of the world, whether it's through a still life of a flower in a window or creating an entire diorama and a micro set and photographing a story that way. But it's our imagination of presenting the world as we see it, or as we imagine it should be, or as we imagine that it could be. It's in that that we really start to create a voice of who we really are. So that sense of, I wonder what if, that should be a clue for you to really pick up the camera and dive deep down into that rabbit hole and see what would happen. Don't allow it to be, I wonder. Allow it to be like, wow, I had this idea and I experienced that. The last piece, which I think is really big, and I've talked about this with my partner, Lori, and I have talked about this a lot. One of the things we find interesting is the use of the phrase, I'm sorry. And there's cultural reasons, there are generational reasons, there are gender reasons, there's all sorts of different reasons why people would apologize without really needing to apologize. It's one thing if you've been a real SOB to somebody, I think it's important to apologize. If you've been a lying, stealing, thieving cheat, it's important to apologize. But there are things you will do in your life that you don't need to apologize for. To live an unapologetic creative life, I think, is a very powerful position to be in and a very powerful position to stand in to create what really matters and what is really significant for you as an artist and the world to hear and appreciate. That requires a significant change in our approach. So one of the things when we look back, like I said, this all started out of a visual literacy piece. When you create photographs, when you create stories, when you tell things that are meaningful to you, you have to do that from a place of strength and conviction, because you're going to put that out in the world. And you can't be apologetic for that. You can't say, I'm telling the story of abuse, I'm telling a story of the importance of the environment, or whatever story you're telling, and then apologize for it. And one of the things I would encourage you to try to see in your own creative life and in your own experience of the world is, how often do you apologize for things that you really don't need to apologize for? because I think that is one of the things that could be a detriment to your own imagination and your own creativity. If you have an idea or you have a concept or you're expressing yourself and you immediately start off with an I'm sorry, you've taken a step back from that. You've downgraded the impact of that and the impact of your own story in that. And I think one of the things that we have to do as artists, and this is probably the most critical aspect of this, is we have to support each other in that endeavor. Because there's a lot of reasons that have been ingrained to us to apologize for all sorts of things. Anytime the boat gets rocked a little bit, we want to apologize for it because we want people to feel secure and safe and happy. But that could be to our detriment of our own happiness and our own strength and our own creativity and our own imagination. So we don't want to sacrifice something there. We want to be able to articulate why is it important and why are we doing the things we're doing without having to be concerned about, is it just uncomfortable for somebody else or is it something that I'm just apologizing for out of habit? So I think if you can let go of that apologetic standpoint and get to your creativity from an unapologetic standpoint and really own the convictions of what you're creating, I think you'd be surprised at how much more power you feel you have to control the type of things you create. That sense of wonder then, is it possible? What does the actual image say and convey can come from a much stronger position because you're standing there without feeling like you need to say you're sorry for the work you've created. You've just been able to own it, accept it, and put it out there and then really push forward with that. So I know there's a lot of things in our own creative life that make a huge difference. And I think for you, if you were going to sit down this week, you know, do a little homework after the podcast, would be to think about the things that you do in your own life that would make a difference. What are the key phrases? What are the key statements you make over and over again in your own creative space? Is there an insecurity phrase you use all the time? Is there a protective phrase? Do you say something like, oh, I'll never learn that, or I could never do that, is another phrase I hear a lot. I could never do that. I'm not that technical. Is that just a defense mechanism to keep you from pushing your imagination and creativity forward, from trying something with a camera that you haven't done before? But really come up with those core set of phrases, because I've given you mine. I've given you the ones I've come up with in my own process as I was thinking about language and how it's constructed around our creative practice. But for you, what are those key phrases? What are those key elements? What could you do to recontextualize and reshape those so they become a powerful tool for you to move forward? So like I said, instead of having to say I'm sorry for something, to say I'm very proud to put this forward and I know it may be challenging for people, but this is something I think I want to do in my artwork. I think there's a much stronger space for us to have intelligent, supportive conversations when we come from understanding some of the language we do just by default. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. I hope you get some amazing photographs. There's still some beautiful color out there, at least in this part of the country up here in the Pacific Northwest. I know winter's coming, so a lot of you will be holing up here, probably getting back into the dark room and working on some of the images you shot over the summer. So good luck getting organized with all that. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes or Google Play or any place podcasts are found. And I will see you next week.